of the things that...
Do you mind if I cut that down one notch? It's kind of like a wind tunnel over here.
I like wind tunnels.
Yeah.
Just came over and didn't even ask. He just told it.
He asked.
Yeah, but he asked in the midst of pulling it.
Wait for an answer.
Before I was so rudely interrupted by Pete, the most important thing that we haven't studied in the morning Bible study, and it's the most important thing to understand about understanding Christianity and the aspects of Christianity, is the blood. And what does the blood mean in terms of the Bible, and in fact in terms of all ancient cultures? And so that's what we're going to talk about for the next few days. If anybody, unless you don't like blood, never mind. Why did I say stupid things? Because of what happened with Christ and his death and resurrection, we have become God's blood brothers. If you're truly a believer, we are directly related to God by blood. And this whole thing is that if you really study, you find out that everything in the Bible is a covenant book, and it's everything is about a covenant instead of a testament. It should be called a covenant book. All ancient people had committed relationships. They weren't associations. And the committed relationship was, and from the tribe, if one breaks the covenant, they die. And if one of a tribe break the covenant, then there's war. Now, remember that we've studied Genesis 18, but let's look at that real quick, because it sort of gives us the whole picture. I should have asked you if you wanted to study the blood. I probably won't ask that. It's not where it's supposed to be. Pete, where is the horror of great darkness?
15, just 15.
All right. Let's start in verse 7. And he said unto him, God said to Abraham, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give you this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, take a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst,
and laid each one, each piece one against another, but the birds did he defy not. Now, if you remember, if this is the bull, for instance, he cut him down the middle of the spine, and so he opened up. And so each of the animals that are mentioned were cut like that. And so he had a heifer of 3 years old, a she-goat of 3 years old, a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon, but he didn't cut the birds. So and these are all the sacrifices that will be made during the when they finally get to the Exodus of leaving Egypt, from finding out on Mount Sinai what the sacrifices were. But here, these, was it four animals? A heifer,
five.
A she-goat, a ram. No, there's three that are.
Oh, there's three
that are cut. Mm-hmm. And this wasn't just done here this way. This was done in a very similar, was all done in all ancient cultures. And it was almost like they knew this intuitively. But the heifer, then the goat, then the ram, and then they were cut in half and laid open, so the blood was seen. And then they cut the covenant by each person that was part of the covenant, walked through it several times, and it formed a figure for eternity, a figure eight. Sideways, which is the symbol for eternity, always has been. And they were testifying that if either one of us breaks the covenant, then what has happened to these animals will happen to me or you if we break the covenant. Now, so that becomes the basis for all other sacrifices. Now, the point here is God did an incredible thing. He cut the covenant without anyone else cutting it. Abraham didn't cut it. Abraham was put asleep. And so God alone cut the covenant. And it said, if either one of us breaks the covenant, then I will die. So this predicted the crucifixion and death of Jesus Christ at the beginning. You understand that? So this idea of a covenant is what the blood is all about. And that's what we're going to talk about for the next few days. And each time you walk through it, that's why you did it several times. Each time you walk through the blood, you were saying to the other partaker of the covenant that if either one of us breaks it, I will die. And so both of them did that. I mean, God is saying if either one, if it's a normal person, two of us, if Pete and I were cutting the covenant, both of us would walk through it. And we would say by that action that either one of us, if you break the covenant, you die. But God, this is what's so mind-bending about all this. God cut the covenant alone.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to keep your finger or something there and go to Galatians chapter something. tick. Chapter 3, verse 6. Let's start there. And this is all about, still with us, it's about the this idea of covenant. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And this scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations, be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by his by faith. And the law is not of faith. But the man that doeth them shall live in them. No, we've got to stop there. If any part of your life is not of faith, then that's why the blood is so important to understand. If any part of your life is not of faith, then even if it's only one thing of the law, you are guilty of the whole law. You understand? If everything about you isn't of faith, if anything about you is yet by cause and effect, or any other law, or all the laws of the scriptures, if you think you have to do one of those, then you're not of faith. And if you're not of faith, from God's standpoint, you're dead. Now, what does it mean? What's the universal law? The law of Babylon. The universal law that had always been, it's the law of Babylon. That's why they had to come out of Babylon, Egypt as well as Babylon. Or Babylon as well as Egypt. There are two Passovers. But Babylon, the religion of Babylon, the universal religion of all men, since the fall, is cause and effect. If I do this, this will happen. Now that cause and effect seems like to us that it is so, it's more than a law, it's the way a thing works. And as long as you're living in any part of your life by cause and effect, then that means you have to keep the entire law of this Bible, of the Old Testament. Do you understand that? You have something look.
I didn't fully understand.
Huh?
I didn't fully understand what you said.
All right. Is there anything that you do that's based on cause and effect? If I do this, this will happen.
Yes.
Okay. If any part of you stays in cause and effect, then you're still in Babylon. You may think you've left Egypt, but you haven't left Babylon. If you're still a party to the religion of cause and effect. And it's again, that's why if you are, don't worry about it, but just confess it as sin. Does that clarify it at all? Do you know what cause and effect means?
Yeah. Maybe you have a different definition.
Well, tell me yours. I mean, I want each of us to know what it is. I mean, I'm not saying my definition is right or wrong. If I do this, that will happen. That's cause and effect. If I don't do this, that won't happen. Is that your definition?
Yeah.
All right. So back now. Oh, we're still in Galatians. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. in verse 11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For only the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith. But the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through him. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth it, or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Now this is an important part. In this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should be made, should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression, till a seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. God alone cut the covenant. That's what that means. So all that crap that went on when I was an atheist, you know, all these people were talking about God is dead, God is dead. They should have understood something there. Because God did die so they could live. Because he, fortunately for me and you, we don't have to walk through that blood and say, if any either one of us breaks this. But what's happened to these sacrifices happened to me. And that's the meaning of this whole thing we're studying. So now I'll go back to Genesis 15. Just, I mean, talk to me if you don't understand it, because this is really important.